Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, this is Rhiannon Leo Jameson from the Northeast Millerton Library.
Hi, and this is Margaret Hask from the Cornwall, Connecticut Library.
And we're here today to talk about beloved fundraisers.
right, yes. So, Rhiannon, why don't you go first and describe what your library does?
So, we're very fortunate that we are predominantly funded by local tax dollars, and we're very grateful that the community chose to do that for us. But we do have a couple fundraisers throughout the year. But I always found it the funniest one that everyone always seems to enjoy the most is our Election Day bake sale.
Oh.
And, yeah. and originally, the library proper was the polling place. So we would close for the day and have a bake sale in the library where everyone went to the other side to go vote.
Sounds great.
So it's fantastic. But now the voting is in our annex, but we still have the bake sale in the foyer as you come in. And for the last 2 years, we were on the ballot asking the community to increase our funding and stabilize our funding. And so we couldn't have the bake sale because we were on the ballot.
Oh, right, yes.
So this will be the first year that's back in 2 years.
And I think where do you get your baked goods? Okay. Do people contribute them, or where do they come from?
People from the community just make things. They drop it off the morning of when they come to vote or the day before. We have, you know, everything from like your standard cookies and brownies and that kind of thing. But we've had pies and jellies and all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
We had a couple of people going, oh, someone didn't bake my peanut butter pie. They look for it every year.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think people were very happy to help the library, but very annoyed that we didn't have our big sale. So I'm looking forward to having it again this year.
Yeah, good.
And it's surprisingly, you know, you wouldn't think a bake sale would be a meaningful fundraiser, but it is because everyone comes through to vote. So it has funded a number of things for the library, so it's fantastic.
It sounds like a win-win all around.
Yeah.
And do you have other fundraisers as well?
We do. We actually have one coming up on July 25th. Where it's Aminia versus Millerton's Battle for the Books golf tournament.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's held at Under Mountain Golf Course, and they are very generous and they do everything. It's amazing. So it's a 9-hole scramble, and, you know, everyone gets their pairs, and everyone plays for a team. So each year it might be Millerton, it might be Aminia. We have a little trophy. So we get bragging rights. And we have a fundraiser for both libraries. And the funds usually go to helping children's programs and different things like that.
Wonderful. And do you play golf? Are you in it?
We did 1 year. Victoria Hero, who's the director of the Amina Library, and I played 1 year and never again. We slowed it all down. But no, it's like we've had every member, like all members of the community, we've had our local mayor play. We've had heads of different political committees, local contractors. It's like a wide range of community members, and it's a lot of fun. And it's beautiful.
Like
it's such a beautiful golf course. And then in November, usually the first weekend in November, after Election Day, it's a very busy week at the library, we have our holiday craft fair. And that's been going on a lot longer than I think I realized, probably closer to 10 years now.
Wow.
And everything is handmade. We've kind of branched out to vintage items as well.
Mm-hmm.
But all the handmade items are donated to the library. So the crafters and the artists are giving us things to sell. So all the proceeds go to the library. And I'm always amazed of the generosity of people when, like, they made these beautiful objects and they don't expect anything in return other than a thank you.
That's amazing.
And we're able to raise funds for the library that way, too.
Well, they sound like fun things. All of them sound like fun things.
Yeah. We try to, you know, make our fundraising as accessible to every member of the community as possible, because every member of the community would like to help. And so we try to have a bunch of different things going on that, if you know, maybe the craft sale is not for you, but the bake sale will be. Kind of
right. Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What kind of fundraising do you do?
Well, it is an important part of what we have to do because we're an association library. Mm-hmm. So the town gives us a really nice solid grant of about 20 or 25% of our income needs. But that means we have to raise like 80% of what we need. So we do have to keep an eye on fundraising. And we generally have four fundraisers. There's some occasional small things that slip in, but pretty much we have four major fundraisers. The first is the annual appeal, which is just a request for donations. And that's extremely important, and that is our biggest fundraisers, really, just people contributing funds to the library, which is really, really nice of them. And we do have a lot of very generous donors in town, and we count on that. And the community comes through. And then we have some fun fundraisers then as well. We have a book sale on Memorial Day, and it's used books, and it takes over the whole library, and it runs for the 3-day weekend. And it's not our biggest fundraiser, but it might be one of our more fun fundraisers because it's just so much fun, where everybody coming in and they pick up tons of books and see everybody. It's been kind of a hard winter, and here we are starting the summer with this book sale, and people see people they haven't seen for a while, and it really is a really nice community thing. And And that was great this year. We did well on it this year. And then our second fundraiser is Books and Blooms, and that has been going on now for 11 years, which is a really long time for a fundraiser. So we have it consists generally of a Friday evening talk by a notable person. This year we had John Galassi, who's a poet, and he wrote a long poem about gardening. So he read from his book. It was very, very nice. And then we have a reception afterwards with drink and food and music. And it's usually outdoors behind the library, which is a very lovely spot. We often have, there's a cow field behind the library, and sometimes we have cows join us, which is always fun to have. And then the second day, four people in Cornwall open their private gardens to the community for us, which is really a generous thing to do because we have as many as 300 people coming through a garden. And we've never had anything go wrong. We've never had a problem with it. So it's just a huge gift from these gardeners to let us go in. And they're beautiful gardens, ones that you wouldn't see otherwise, probably. This past year, we had three gardens that have never been on a tour before. And the fourth garden has been on the tour before, but it deserves to be on the tour because it's absolutely beautiful. So that, too, is a really nice community event. We have, people sitting. We have docents at each garden, and everybody visits and chats. And it's a lot of fun. This year, we had beautiful weather, so it was just perfect. It all went perfectly, and that is a really nice fundraiser for us. That's an important one. And then at the end of the summer, we have our Labor Day art sale, which is an interesting concept. We ask people to give us artwork, not their own artwork, but artwork they've had in the house that it's like in a closet or something, or they don't. It doesn't suit them any longer. For whatever reason, they don't want it any longer. Or maybe they're scaling down their space, and so they have artwork, and they give it to us. It's just donated to the library. And then our curators and our team, they look through it all, and they price it, and they kind of clean it up or frame it or whatever it needs to have taken care of and mount it. And then for the long Labor Day weekend, we have this big art sale, and it's things from thousands of dollars to things that are $25, and they're all nice, and it's again, it's a big big party for the community, and a lot of fun. So it keeps people busy. I can tell you that, you know, keeping your eye on fundraising, it's important. But in the last several years, we've had just wonderful turnout and luck with everything. So, that's what we have to do. Yeah, we're 501c3, and we just have to raise a lot of our own money.
Yeah, we're kind of in the same boat. We're also 501c3. But I was thinking about how you're saying, and nothing has ever gone wrong. It's kind of amazing, like certain programs and events that we do, there's so much that could happen, and it just always works out.
We did have one debacle one year where we had, because there's limited access to a really nice garden, we hired buses to run people there, and the buses never showed up. So that was pretty rough, but that's the only thing. And it wasn't as anybody got hurt. Some people were disappointed, but it wasn't really a terrible thing.
Do you have any upcoming programs in the next month?
We do. Let's see what we have. We have an author talk. Rebecca Chase is going to talk about her book. We're going to have a private studio tour with a local artist, Carl Davia. And then on August 1st, since it's coming up so quickly, we have Adam Van Dorn, who's a local scholar, who is going to talk about his book, In the President's Footsteps. He traveled down the East Coast visiting a lot of presidential sites and then wrote about it. And he also is an artist, so he also does watercolors of the sites. It's a beautiful book. He's going to talk about that. And then during the week in July, we have 2 weeks of summer camp, which is a 9-to-5 summer camp for kids. It's full of activities, full of wonderful things, some of which are open to the public. So people should look at our Cornwall Chronicle and my newsletter and see what they could come in. The Cornwall Foundation gave us a grant to pay for these really wonderful programs. Like there's a big art thing, and there's a big whale thing, and there's lots of stuff happening. And those each week is priced at only $100 per child for the entire week. So it's a really good program for the community, a real benefit to the community. And we still have a couple of spots in the second week. If anybody is interested, they can call me about that. What about you? What do you have coming up?
We will be hosting the Northeast Community Center's free summer lunch program again. So we'll be here at lunchtime, Monday to Friday. But the only requirement is that you have to be under 18 and sign up ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So if anyone's interested, they just have to go visit Northeast Community Center's website. And unfortunately, I didn't think to write that down before we came in. But it's right on their site, and you just fill out the form. Or you can come to the library, and we'll help you fill out the form. And lunch, and it's always
been a nice
delicious.
Benefit. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and we have different things going on at the library around that time to help, you know, like open crafting and different things. And then on July 11th, we're going to be hosting the Red Cross having a blood drive. So we're a little behind on registrations this year. So I'm making the call that everyone needs to come out and donate blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important because there's always a summer lull, and that's when all the different catastrophes tend to happen country. So better to donate now, and that way they don't have to worry about running out.
Fantastic.
And then on July 22nd, we are holding a chocolate tasting with Christoph. I'm going to pronounce that wrong. It's a little different than I think. But Chris Amaro of Munchtown. He is a local chocolate maker, and he's going to be doing a guided tour for the world through chocolate. Ooh. And then at the end, you get to try out chocolate. He'll talk about the different notes and different qualities. And these are all chocolates that he has made locally. It's going to be very exciting. And that's on July 20th.
It's Munchtown. Did I get that right?
Yep, it's Mudgetown.
Mudgetown, I see. Okay.
You can find their
chocolate. Like a nice event.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited. We've been trying. Scheduling has been hard, but we've been trying to get him to come for a while, so it's perfect that's in July because, you know, a lot more people are in, and who doesn't like, you know, a little chocolate, a little air conditioning and chocolate in the summer.
right, absolutely.
And we're just asking that everyone has to register ahead of time, and when you come to the event, you donate a non-perishable food item or make a monetary donation to Tri Corner Feed, which is our local sliding scale grocery store.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And then, Millerton's 175th anniversary is in July. There's a lot of things going on in town, and we're hosting an exhibit of some of the materials that they used to have Millerton declared a historic district. It was put together by the Northeast Historical Society, and it's highlighting all of our fabulous architecture and history and who built it and, you know, what makes Millerton such an important historic district.
Mm-hmm. It is a beautiful area there, and that downtown area is really, really charming.
Yeah. I feel like downtown is absolutely stunning, but the hidden gem is all the streets above Main Street, because there's restored Victorian houses that almost feel like mansions at this point, because they're normally would not have an average house built that big.
Yeah, wonderful.
But they're stunning. So just take a walk up north of the library and go look at the beautiful architecture.
So I guess we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.